great to have you here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about that wallet of yours. I want you to learn ideas from me so you can keep more of what you make. Coming up in just a few minutes, in today's Clarkrageous moment, hate to do it, there's yet another call out to you to check your monthly statements for credit cards, and if you use a debit card, even greater risk. Criminal ring was just busted. The level of penetration they had into retailer systems, I think much greater than anybody thought. And coming up yet later, supermarket business is changing to be more what you want in ways that are completely unpredictable. Wait till you hear some of the things that could save you money or give you more convenience. I want to talk about one of the things that's on our top 10 list of calls and questions we get off air. You may not be aware, but we answer calls off the air for you over 40 hours each week. You can talk with a member of Team Clark and discuss a question, a problem, a concern. And we track what people are reaching out to us about to see trends. And by the way, if you want to know how to get free off-the-air advice, just go to clark.com and you'll see how to talk with a member of Team Clark. It's about halfway down the front screen. You'll see on your phone or your laptop. But one of the things that is on our list is people who have had problems with CPOs or have questions about CPOs. You know what that is? Certified pre-owned. It is a massive profit center for car dealers to slap on cars they have, or trucks or SUVs or whatever that they're selling, to slap on them that they're certified pre-owned. Do you know what certified pre-owned means? Nothing. Nothing. I can open Clark's used car lot, go get my dealer license, and I can slap on all the vehicles certified pre-owned. And what does that certification mean? Whatever I want it to mean. Now, manufacturers, to try to hold up the value of vehicles that they've leased, have this system set up with dealers where dealers, when a vehicle is returned from lease, they're supposed to certify that it's not been an accident and that they've done a 144-point check or a 172-point check or a 115-point check. And so this vehicle is fantabulous because they've made sure it's okay and that they've done all these things to it. It's not been in a wreck. They fixed, reconditioned what's wrong and all that. And then in turn, you're buying peace of mind knowing that used car doesn't have a bad problem or bad history. Except it's just a marketing thing. It's just a marketing thing. So know that just because a vehicle is being touted to you as certified pre-owned, it may come with additional warranty from the manufacturer, and that has value. But you've got to have that vehicle inspected as a condition to purchase, just like any other vehicle. Because remember, the first part of this is that it is a meaningless term that's just for marketing purposes that tends to boost the cost of a vehicle you're buying. CPO versus one next to it that's not CPO, it can make a $2,000 difference right then and there. So be aware that this is a gimmick that may have some value, but there's nothing that says that it does. And you got to do truth serum, which is you want to see the vehicle title history. You want to have that vehicle checked out, because just because they say they've done all that doesn't mean they have. As I portrayed on television, somebody bought a very expensive luxury car that was certified that it had not been in a wreck, that it had not had any problems of note and that it had been through the full thing. And that individual had run a vehicle title history and found out, guess what? The vehicle had been in a major accident. And if they could do that on a title history, so could the manufacturer of that luxury brand, so could the dealer selling it under the manufacturer's own program. Don't trust the term. Sam is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Clark, how are you?
Great, thank you, Sam. So you're selling one of your investment properties. Tell me about those.
I have a rental property I've owned for 5 years, and this past year, unfortunately, had to evict my tenant. My circumstances have changed. I've got two kids now, don't really want to manage it, so I'm selling it and just trying to figure out what the best use of the proceeds will be.
Well, I'm so sorry that having a rental property was not a good experience for you. And how hard was it, just so that other would-be landlords can hear, how hard did you find the process to do the eviction?
I got my last rent payment in March, and it was not until August of last year that I was able to get him evicted. So, that's a good 4-month period without getting any money in. So that was tough.
That's terrible. And, that varies by state, depending on landlord-tenant laws in a state, how quick or slow it is to get a non-paying tenant out of a property. But that would leave a terrible taste in anyone's mouth. So you got the buyer, you're going to be done, you're going to be out of this deal.
Yep, I've officially accepted an offer. And so again, my net proceeds will be about $20,000. And, looking at my portfolio of things to pay off, I owe about $10,000 on my wife's car, and that's a 3%. I've got an FHA mortgage loan, which I'm about $6,000 from having the FHA mortgage insurance dropping off of that. And then I've got about
Say that again. Your FHA mortgage insurance is going to drop off?
Once I reach the 79% loan to value.
Okay. All right.
So, and that's if I pay $5,000 more, I'll be at that 79% loan to value. The loan is 6 years old. So the mortgage insurance premium, which is about $125 a month, will drop off. And then my third obstacle that I'm working with here, I've got about $18,000 in credit card debt from some medical bills and a failed business idea. Most of that is on zero interest, which those dates or varying dates that will come due. Just trying to figure out what the best way to put these proceeds to work for myself.
All right. Well, number one, leave the car alone.
Okay.
The $10,000 owed on the car, there's no net advantage to you dealing with that. So on the mortgage, historically, FHA loans, you could not remove the insurance premium. Do you have something in writing that you will be able to remove it once you have an LTV of 79% or lower?
So, yeah, that's what it's prior to 2011, I guess, is the terms that I'm in. So once I reach 79% loan to value and the loan is 5 years old, Wells Fargo has assured me that the mortgage insurance premium falls off at that point.
All right. I want that in writing.
Okay.
You want that. You want that clear as could be, and if you can see it in your loan documents, even better.
Okay. Yeah, I think I have that documentation.
All right, good. All right. So that is a potential great priority. You said you have to pay how much to bring that down?
It's about $6,000.
So if you did six on that and 14 on the credit cards, that would be a good combo.
All right. And so you would go ahead and just pay off some of the zero interest cards, even though, and just leave the car loan as it is.
Yes, because the car loan, pays off at a reasonable schedule. The 0%, as you said, they're going to expire one by one. And then the interest rates boomerang really high on those.
Sure.
So I think just be rid of that debt.
Okay.
Because you're only talking about 0 to 3, the difference between those and the car loan. Car loan's going to stay at 3. The cards, as the holidays expire, are going to go up to, typically the 0% go up to upper high teens.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So I would get rid of the PMI, or I'm sorry, it's not PMI, the insurance premium on the FHA, if in fact you really can, and wipe out two-thirds of the credit card debt, or more than two-thirds of the credit card debt.
Yep.
And I'm really sorry you had such a rotten experience with that tenant. Never know. Joe joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Clark. How are you?
Great. Thank you, Joe. You got a 529 question for me.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for all your advice on these 529 plans. It's been invaluable to me.
Oh, I'm glad I've been able to help.
Yeah, absolutely. So my question is, my daughter's 15 and entering her sophomore year of high school. So we've saved up, you know, in our 529 plan, and kind of as someone like, you know, is approaching retirement, at what point would you want to switch your investments from stock type choices to more, you know, bond or safe conservative choices?
Sure. So bonds are not the safest thing right now, which is historical allocation, stock and bond mix. And the difference between your situation, let's say approaching retirement, and your child's situation approaching college, is retirement, once you hit it, it can go on decade after decade after decade, depending on lifespan, where college is a known quantity coming at a certain point, hopefully finished in 4 or 5 years. So it's even a higher priority to be conservative with money when a child's just a few years out from college than with retirement money. So in the 529 plan you're in, there should be an age-based option.
Okay.
And if there's one that fits, you said your daughter?
Yes, sir.
That fits her age band, then just go into that. And okay, they automatically will reallocate to protect from the downside without getting too conservative at the same time.
Okay.
And I'm a big fan of age-based portfolio, even from birth, for a kid going into a 529 plan, so that you don't have to worry about continually reallocating to get the risk right. They tend to do it with the age-based portfolios and most of the 529 plans in 2-year bands. So she would be in one that would be appropriate for freshman, sophomore, and then would go into one that would be appropriate for a junior, senior.
Gotcha. Would you do that right away, or would you wait more until she gets closer to college?
I'd go ahead and go age-based now. And I love the 529s because you're talking about tax-free growth on money that's spent for college, and every dollar that's in there is a dollar that you don't have to sweat where it's going to come from elsewhere.
Right. It's been great. It's been a great investment. It's gone up, and all the proceeds, like you said, are tax-free. So just the growth should cover a year or two of college.
Isn't that great? Well, good for you. Well, best to her in the rest of high school. And I hope that the college experience turns out to be as good for her as it was for my oldest. Today's Clarkrageous moment is an important update about something I gave you limited details on last month. Now I know more, and what I know is more distressing than what I shared with you last month in today's Clark Rage.
Scams, ripoffs, outrages. It's a Clark Rageous moment.
There was information moving around on security blogs about a criminal ring that had tapped into payment terminals at a handful of restaurant chains. Now, there's more information put out by the feds that the ring was based in Eastern Europe and that they have at least 15 million active credit card and debit card numbers. Now, even though the ring has, there's some members of the ring that have been arrested, it doesn't mean that the numbers are safe, and there are any of a number of chains already known, and there will be others that will come to light probably. Chipotle can't win a break on anything, can they? Arby's, let's see who else they've said, Chili's, Red Robin, Jason's Deli, and then a number of hotels and resorts that are not identified yet or named. They may be known to the feds, but they're not being named yet. So these criminals were able to go through the payment terminal systems behind the scenes. They didn't have to go and physically attack any one payment terminal. They were able to do so in the underlying architecture of accounting and payment systems at restaurant chains and the as yet unnamed hotel chains. So what you need to know as a consumer is that if you suddenly get a notice from your credit card company that you're getting a new card without any other explanation, it may be that they believe your number is one of the ones that were compromised in this. And, or they may tell you that your card was used at a place that was subject to a breach. But many times, the first you'll know that a credit or debit card has been used is when activity occurs on your account. This may end up even being more widespread than 15 million plus. Your key assignment is to look through your statements very closely over the next few months to see if any funny stuff is on, and then contact your bank or credit card company immediately. It's my pleasure to welcome you to the Clark Howard Show, where it's about you learning ways to save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. Kroger, which is the nation's second largest supermarket chain behind Walmart, is trying to be a survivor and hopefully thrive in a marketplace that is changing so dramatically. And people are buying groceries so many different ways, so many different places. And Kroger is doing something that feels a little me too of Costco and Amazon. Kroger is testing out, they're calling it a beta, Kroger Ship. And with Kroger Ship, you find items that you want to buy, and it's a special web address, ship, S-H-I-P, .kroger.com. And this is for non-perishables, not for fruits and vegetables or milk, but much of the rest of what Kroger sells, with a special emphasis on their private label and lower prices than you'd normally find on private label when you buy from their shipping site. And you can do it one of two ways. You can either do an automatic ship of things on a schedule, like Amazon. Amazon calls theirs, what does Amazon call their thing? You were doing it for subscribe and save. Subscribe and save. And so Kroger has their version of that. And you don't have to hit a big minimum order. $35 gets you free shipping from the Kroger Ship or ship.kroger. And the advantage of these programs from Kroger and from Costco, which Costco has been doing non-perishable free delivery for a while as long as you meet minimums, is that they stop you from impulse buying. That if you go into a store, you are likely to buy things on impulse that you're not as likely to buy if you shop right online and just buy from the program. But if you are someone who shops at Kroger, this is an opportunity for you to not have to lug things home that normally you have to lug home that you know you use and you know pretty much how much of them you use. You can buy this way and have the free delivery. As I mentioned, people are doing every possible way of buying. And I saw a crazy story in the New York Times about different things that people are doing, opening one-person-owned supermarkets, instead of big chains, opening little stores that follow a particular theme that's important to the individual that opens it. One that started in Canada that's popping up around the United States are stores that are package free, that there are people who are very concerned about all the waste we have in the country and all the packaging and all that. And so you go into these little stores and they'll have things just typically in wooden bins, and you bring your own bags or containers or whatever, and you scoop up what you're buying into your own items and in your own packaging, and you take those items home. So it's for people that are very much into the simplicity movement, the reduction of waste. And the idea is that buying things, basically you're buying bulk products instead of individually packaged, putting them in your own packaging, that reduces a big cost out of the system in addition to the environmental thing. Now, the other idea that is one that is involving trust are co-ops opening up around the country where there's no employee there. You have to be a member to buzz yourself in, but you're a member of the co-op, and it's an honor system for the items you're buying. There are cameras watching you typically, but it's an honor system, and you pay for the items, you scan the items, you pay for the items you have purchased, and you just walk out. By not having to have employees on site and having it be people that are members of a co-op who are all benefiting together or suffering together if somebody does a bad thing, by eliminating the labor of having employees on site, it, in theory, allows items to be sold cheaper. So who knew that there's so much turmoil in the supermarket business with all these mid-sized supermarket chains filing for bankruptcy and closing and all that, that there's room right now for you if there's something you're like, there ought to be a store that does blah, blah, blah. You can be the one who's the oughta and makes it happen. Dave is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Clark. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly, Dave. You've got a gripe about Amazon.
I certainly do. Been a Prime member for a long time. Always enjoyed the service. However, lately, it seems like I'm not getting two-day service shipping. It seems like I'm getting 4, 5, 6-day shipping. I ordered some for my garage door opener. My batteries went bad. I ordered, some replacement batteries on a Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. The notice, I got the shipping notice, and it was saying Tuesday of the following week. And I called them and said, hey, what's going on? Oh, we'll expedite it overnight for you at no additional charge. And they came on Monday.
Well, Amazon is straining. And they are doing every experiment they can come up with to try to get their deliveries back to being reliable. But there's been a deterioration that any Amazon Prime loyalist would see exactly what you are saying and has experienced it themselves, that the delivery frames are not meeting the two-day promise anymore. In fact, Amazon now says the 2 days means from when they've actually fulfilled the order, that it's not 2 days from when you order now.
Oh, yes. And I guess the worst one was on the Black Monday. I really wanted a 50-inch TV for the $300. Ordered it. And unfortunately, we were going on vacation on Friday of that week. We were leaving 5 a.m. in the morning. Ordered the TV on Monday. Got the notice that it was shipping on, was going to arrive on Friday. And I called and I said, this won't work. And they said, the excuse they gave me was the TV had to be repackaged and pulled off the shelf in the warehouse and shipped. And I said, well, that won't work. There will not be anybody here on Friday. And they said, well, sorry, there's nothing we can do. You'll just have to cancel. So I did. I immediately sent an email canceling the order. And about 2 hours later, I got an email saying, we can't cancel your order.
Okay, let me explain that, how that could happen. So that's been a really confusing thing for people. Amazon, as I understand it from what I've read, is doing a lot of what's known as direct ship from manufacturers or from wholesalers, where it's never passing through an Amazon warehouse. It's shipping from a manufacturer or distributor's warehouse. And once they put in that order, that's how it's being routed to you with a third-party delivery service. So the Amazon Prime, you remember, because it's like a victim of its own popularity and success, is not the Amazon Prime of anymore.
And, oh, I understand. But the problem was, I didn't want a 50-inch TV sitting on my front porch while I'm on vacation.
Where a porch pirate could run off with it.
Exactly.
All right. So let me cut to the chase on this with Amazon. Two-day delivery no longer means 2 days, except by whatever calendar Amazon uses. However, if you do get something that comes late and you call Amazon, the most common thing they'll do for you is extend your Prime an additional month for free. So you get something for it, but if you're hoping that Amazon in the near future is going to go back to being reliable with shipping, forget it.
All right.
I mean, think about it. They've got how many members they have now? They keep raising the cost of Prime, and it doesn't seem to make any dent and the popularity of it and the number of people who want to sign up.
I understand, but it sure doesn't help me when I need the items. And quite frankly, I'm not convenient to stores.
Okay. So I would suggest experiment a little. Try Jet.com, which is a retailer a lot of people really love, as an alternative to Amazon. They have no membership fee. You can try any of a number of people. You can try Boxed. I don't know if you ever tried Boxed, BOXED.com. That seems to be putting a smile on a lot of people's faces. There are alternatives. Even if you are not in an area convenient to stores, there are these smaller competitors to Amazon that maybe are worth a look, as Amazon has disappointed you at least these two times recently. Carlos is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Carlos.
Hi, Clark.
Carlos, you have a terrible situation involving a broken heart, and I'm sorry about what you've suffered through lately.
Thank you. So I was engaged, and I bought a wedding band and an engagement ring. I spent a total of $10,000. We ended up breaking everything off. And so I've got this jewelry. It's GLA certified, from a reputable place. What are my options as far as selling it?
Well, I should tell you that this is a terrible dilemma with broken engagements, and like 1 in 3 engagements don't make it to the altar. So don't feel like you're the Lone Ranger on that. It doesn't heal your heart any easier, but a diamond, once it's purchased from a retailer, a ring purchased from a retailer, will not bring anywhere near that value for you when you try to sell it. And the options to you are somewhat limited. Some jewelers will allow you to do a consignment where for a percent, they will consign the jewelry for you, the diamond and the jewelry for you, but it is a situation where you will suffer a meaningful loss, in this case with $10,000 on the line, in the thousands of dollars.
Sure. Because
there's such a difference between the retail sale of a diamond and jewelry and trying to sell it in the secondary market.
Is there a benefit to hanging on to this even for a few years with...
You mean in terms of jewelry or diamonds appreciating or whatever? That is so hard to call if there would be enough of an increase in value. And historical trends would say maybe not. Because remember, you are not going to get near retail for it. And I don't know, and I'm going to ask you a difficult question now. Do you think that diamond, as a loose diamond, you would ever be comfortable giving it to another woman?
I think I would be. I'm not sure she would be, and I wouldn't want to deceive her.
Okay. Then I want to tell you about a website I've mentioned before. IDoNowIDon't.com. Have you seen that?
I have not.
It's exactly for your situation where you can list an item for sale, jewelry item for sale from a broken engagement. And it is potentially a way where people are able to get diamonds and jewelry at a very good price. And you will get, by cutting out the wholesaler, you'll get potentially more money than you could otherwise.
Great. I'll look into that. Thank you, Clark.
All right. I wish I had just like this great wand I could wave and would give a great answer to this. It's not easy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Shannon's with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Shannon.
Hey, Clark. How you doing?
Great. Thank you, Shannon. Understand you're interested in doing some stock investing.
Well, I am, and I hear on the radio every weekend this group that's out there, and it's a group that teaches you kind of how to do it, gives you a program. And I was all interested. I went in, I did the free sessions, checked it out. It seems interesting. But then listening to your show, there was the cost is what threw me off. It's very expensive. It's like $7,000 up front and $600 a month after that.
Wow.
And that includes a mentor and an academy and everything like that.
Well, just the fact that they charge so much money is not by itself something that would disqualify it as something I would like for you to do. What kind of investing would they be teaching you to do?
It's a program that a gentleman made and tells you like when to, you got your highs and lows. And
oh, this is a market timing program?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. What about this sound?
That does not compute.
I despise red light, green light systems. Forget what they want to charge you to teach you the red light, green light system. But I cannot stand any of these Dare to Be Rich programs that say, this is going to make you $1 zillion. Our proprietary system is going to tell you the exact moment and second to buy and to sell this stock and that stock and the other stock and this option and that and whatever. I hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. First of all, if you're not doing it in a retirement account, the tax treatment is brutal. Plus, when you're dealing in buy-sell signals, red light, green light, the problem is you're eliminating any margin for error. There's so much activity going on. There's so much buying and selling that having a real sense of the true intrinsic value of any stock, any company, starts to fade away. I don't like anything that's not based on buying a stock for a real reason that makes it worth you owning and having. And so that is a big bias of mine. Plus, you'd have to overcome that enormous cost per month. And not right. to the upfront, not as much a problem as that enormous expense per month. I would say this is something I wouldn't go anywhere near. You're listening to the Clark Howard Show. Thanks for tuning into the Clark Howard Show today. And if you're like me, you like deals. We got our deal diggers hard at work at clarkdeals.com that help you save money day in and day out. We work around the clock to find the best deals for your wallet, and they're on a variety of consumer items. Check out clarkdeals.com.